Chapter 23. Lubrication System Operation and Diagnosis. Purpose and Function. Engine oil is the lifeblood of any engine. The purpose and function of a lubrication system include the following: 1. Lubricating all moving parts to prevent wear. 2. Helping to cool the engine. 3. Helping to seal piston rings. 4. Cleaning and holding dirt and suspension in the oil until it can be drained from the engine. 5. Neutralizing acids that are formed as a result of the combustion process. 6. Reducing friction. 7. Preventing rust and corrosion. Lubrication principles. Purpose and function. Lubrication between two moving surfaces results from an oil film that separates the surfaces and supports the load. See Figure 23.1. Although oil does not compress, it does leak out around the oil clearance between the shaft and the bearing. In some cases, the oil film is thick enough to keep the surfaces from seizing, but can allow some contact to occur. This condition is called boundary lubrication. The specified oil viscosity and oil clearances must be adhered to during service to help prevent boundary lubrication and wear from occurring, which usually happens when the engine is under a heavy load and low speeds. The movement of the shaft helps prevent contact with the bearing. If oil were put on a flat surface and a heavy block were pushed across the surface, the block would slide more easily than if it were pushed across a dry surface. The reason for this is that a wedge-shaped oil film is built up between the moving block and the surface, as illustrated in Figure 23.2. Hydrodynamic lubrication. This wedging action is called hydrodynamic lubrication, and depends on the force applied to the rate of speed between the objects and the thickness of the oil. Thickness of oil is called the viscosity, and is defined as the ability of the oil to resist flow. High viscosity oil is thick and low viscosity oil is thin. Refer to Figure 23.1. Oil molecules cling to metal surfaces but easily slide against each other. Refer to Figure 23.2. Wedge-shaped oil film developed below a moving block. Figure 23.3. Wedge-shaped oil film curved around a bearing journal. The prefix hydro refers to liquids, as in hydraulics. The term dynamic refers to moving materials. Hydrodynamic lubrication occurs when a wedge-shaped film of lubricating oil develops between two surfaces that have relative motion between them. See Figure 23.3. The engine oil pressure system feeds a continuous supply of oil into the lightly loaded part of the bearing oil clearance. Hydrodynamic lubrication takes over as the shaft rotates in the bearing to produce a wedge-shaped hydrodynamic oil film that is curved around the bearing. The pressure between the bearings and the crankshaft can exceed 1000 psi, or 6900 kilopascals, due to hydrodynamic lubrication, as created by the wedging action between the bearing and the crankshaft journal. Most bearing wear occurs during the initial startup, and continues until a hydrodynamic film is established. Engine lubrication systems. Purpose and function. The primary function of the engine lubrication system is to maintain a positive and continuous oil supply to the bearings. Engine oil pressure must be high enough to get the oil to the bearings with enough force to cause the oil flow that is required for proper cooling. Normal oil pressure. The normal engine oil pressure ranges from 10 to 60 psi, or 200 to 400 kilopascals, or 10 psi per 1000 engine rpm. It is normal to see the following: higher oil pressure when the engine is cold due to the oil being cold and at a higher viscosity. Lower oil pressure when the engine is at normal operating temperature due to the oil becoming thinner, even though it is multiviscosity oil. Lower oil pressures at idle and higher pressures at higher engine speeds because oil pumps are positive displacement pumps. Refer to Figure 23.4. The dash oil pressure gauge may be a good indicator of engine oil pressure. If there is any concern about the oil pressure, always use a mechanical gauge to be sure. The relatively low engine oil pressures obviously could not support these high bearing loads without hydrodynamic lubrication. Oil pressure measurements only show the oil pump pressure and not the pressure created between the bearings and the crankshaft journal due to hydrodynamic forces. See Figure 23.4. Oil temperature. Excessive temperatures, either too low or too high, are harmful to any engine. If the oil is too cold, it could be too thick to flow through the oil passages and lubricate all engine parts. If the oil is too hot, it could become too thin to provide the film strength necessary to prevent metal-to-metal contact and wear. Estimated oil temperature can be determined with the following formula. Estimated oil temperature equals outside air temperature plus 120 degrees Fahrenheit. For example, 90 degrees Fahrenheit outside air temperature plus 120 degrees Fahrenheit equals 210 degrees Fahrenheit estimated oil temperature. During hard acceleration, or high power demand activities, such as trailer towing, the oil temperature will quickly increase. Oil temperature should not exceed 300 degrees Fahrenheit, or 150 degrees Celsius. Oil pumps. Purpose and function. All production automobile engines have a full pressure oil system. The oil pump is required to provide 3 to 6 gallons per minute of engine oil to lubricate the engine. Maintain pressure, by forcing the oil into the lubrication system under pressure. Refer to Figure 23.5, an oil pump driven by the camshaft. Parts and operation. In most engines that use a distributor, the distributor drive gear meshes with a gear on the camshaft, as shown in Figure 23.5. The oil pump is driven from the end of the distributor shaft, often with a hexagon-shaped shaft. Some engines have a short shaft with a gear that meshes with the cam gear to drive both the distributor and oil pump. With a distributor-driven oil pump, the pump turns at 1/2 engine speed. On crankshaft-driven oil pump systems, the oil pump assembly is often made as part of the engine's front cover so that it turns at the same speed as the crankshaft. Types of oil pumps. Oil pumps are called positive displacement pumps, and each rotation of the pump delivers the same volume of oil, therefore, everything that enters must exit. Also, a positive displacement pump will deliver more oil and higher pressure as the speed of the pump increases. Most automotive engines use one of two types of oil pumps, either gear or rotor. External gear type. A gear type oil pump is usually driven by a shaft from the distributor, which is driven by the camshaft. As a result, this type of pump rotates at half engine, or crankshaft, speed. The gear type oil pump consists of two spur gears in a close fit housing. One gear is driven while the other idles. As the gear teeth come out of mesh, they tend to leave a space, which is filled by oil drawn through the pump inlet. When the pump is pumping, oil is carried around the outside of each gear in the space between the gear teeth and the housing. As the teeth mesh in the center, oil is forced from the teeth into an oil passage, thus producing oil pressure. See Figure 23.6. Internal, or external gear type. This type of oil pump is driven by the crankshaft and operates at engine speed. In this style of oil pump, two gears and a crescent stationary element are used. See Figure 23.7. Refer to Figure 23.6. In an external gear type oil pump, the oil flows through the pump around the outside of each gear. This is an example of a positive displacement pump, where everything entering the pump must leave the pump. Refer to Figure 23.7. A typical internal or external oil pump mounted in the front cover of the engine that is driven by the crankshaft. Rotor type. This rotor type oil pump is driven by the crankshaft and uses a special lobe-shaped gear meshing with the inside of a lobed rotor. The center lobed section is driven and the outer section idles. As the lobes separate, oil is drawn in, just as it is drawn into gear type pumps. As the pump rotates, it carries oil around and between the lobes. As the lobes mesh, they force the oil out from between them under pressure in the same manner as the gear type pump. The pump is sized so that it will maintain a pressure of at least 10 psi, or 70 kilopascals, in the oil gallery when the engine is hot and idling. Pressure will increase because the engine-driven pump also rotates faster. See Figure 23.8. Gerotor type. This type of positive displacement oil pump uses an inner and an outer rotor. The term is derived from two words, generated rotor, or gerotor. The inner rotor has one fewer tooth than the outer rotor and both rotate. See Figure 23.9. Refer to Figure 23.8, the operation of a rotor type oil pump. Refer to Figure 23.9, gerotor type oil pump driven by the crankshaft. Oil pressure regulation. In engines with a full pressure lubricating system, maximum pressure is limited with a pressure relief valve. The relief valve, sometimes called the pressure regulating valve, is located at the outlet of the pump. The relief valve controls maximum pressure by bleeding off oil to the inlet side of the pump. See Figure 23.10. The relief valve spring tension determines the maximum oil pressure. If a pressure relief valve is not used, the engine oil pressure will continue to increase as the engine speed increases. Maximum pressure is usually limited to the lowest pressure that will deliver enough lubricating oil to all engine parts that need to be lubricated. The oil pump is made so that it is large enough to provide pressure at low engine speeds and small enough that it will not cavitate at high speed. Cavitation occurs when the pump tries to pull oil faster than it can flow from the pan to the pickup. When it cannot get enough oil, it will pull air. This puts air pockets or cavities in the oil stream. A pump is cavitating when it is pulling air or vapors. Note: the reason for sheet metal covers over the pickup screen is to prevent cavitation. Oil is trapped under the cover, which helps prevent the oil pump from drawing in air, especially during sudden stops or during rapid acceleration. Refer to Figure 2310, oil pressure relief valves are spring-loaded. The stronger the spring tension, the higher the oil pressure. After the oil leaves the pump, it first flows through the oil filter and then is delivered to the moving parts through drilled oil passages. See Figure 2311. Factors affecting oil pressure. Oil pressure can only be produced when the oil pump has a capacity larger than all the leaks in the engine. Leaks. The leaks are the clearances at endpoints of the lubrication system. The endpoints are at the edges of bearings, the rocker arms, the connecting rod spit holes, and so on. These clearances are designed into the engine and are necessary for its proper operation. As the engine parts wear and clearance becomes greater, more oil will leak out. In other words, worn main or rod bearings are often the cause of lower than normal oil pressure. Oil pump capacity. The oil pump must supply extra oil for any leaks. The capacity of the oil pump results from its size, rotating speed, and physical condition. When the pump is rotating slowly as the engine idles, oil pump capacity is low. If the leaks are greater than the pump capacity, engine oil pressure is low. As the engine speed increases, the pump capacity increases and the pump tries to force more oil out of the leaks. This causes the pressure to rise until it reaches the regulated maximum pressure. Note: a clogged oil pump pickup screen can cause lower than normal oil pressure because the amount of oil delivered by the pump is reduced by the clogged screen. Viscosity of the engine oil. The viscosity of the oil affects both the pump capacity and the oil leakage. Thin oil or oil of very low viscosity slips past the edges of the pump and flows freely from the leaks. Hot oil has a low viscosity and, therefore, a hot engine often has low oil pressure. Cold oil is more viscous, or thicker, than hot oil. This results in higher pressures, even with the cold engine idling. High oil pressure occurs with a cold engine, because the oil relief valve must open farther to release excess oil than is necessary with a hot engine. This larger opening increases the spring compression force, which in turn increases the oil pressure. Putting higher viscosity oil in an engine will raise the engine oil pressure to the regulated setting of the relief valve at a lower engine speed. Refer to Figure 2311, a typical engine design that uses both pressure and splash lubrication. Oil travels under pressure through the galleries, or passages, to reach the top of the engine. Other parts are lubricated as the oil flows back down into the oil pan, or is splashed onto parts. Frequently asked question: is a high pressure or high volume oil pump needed? No. Engine parts need pressure after the oil reaches the parts that are to be lubricated. The oil film between the parts is developed and maintained by hydrodynamic lubrication. Excessive oil pressure requires more horsepower and provides no better lubrication than the minimum effective pressure. A high volume pump is physically larger and pumps more oil with each revolution. A high-volume pump is used mostly in race engines where the main and rod bearing clearances are much greater than normal, and, therefore, would need a great volume of oil to make up for the oil leaking from the wide clearances. Oil pump checks. The cover is removed to check the condition of the oil pump. Visual inspection. The gears and housing are examined for scoring. If the gears and housing are heavily scored, the entire pump should be replaced. See Figure 2312. Measurements. If they are lightly scored, the clearances in the pump should be measured. These clearances include the space between the gears and housing, the space between the teeth of the two gears, and the space between the side of the gear and the pump cover. A feeler gauge is often used to make these measurements. Gauging plastic can be used to measure the space between the side of the gears and the cover. The oil pump should be replaced when excessive clearance or scoring is found. On most engines, the oil pump should be replaced as part of any engine work, especially if the cause for the repair is lack of lubrication. Note: the oil pump is the garbage pit of the entire engine. Any and all debris is often forced through the gears and housing of an oil pump. See Figure 2313. Always refer to the manufacturer's specifications when checking the oil pump for wear. Typical oil pump clearances include the following. 1. End plate clearance is 0.0015 of an inch, or 0.04 millimeters. 2. Side, rotor, clearance is 0.012 of an inch, or 0.30 millimeters. 3. Rotor tip clearance is 0.010 of an inch, or 0.25 millimeters. 4. Gear end plate clearance is 0.004 of an inch, or 0.10 millimeters. All parts should also be inspected closely for wear. Check the relief valve for scoring and check the condition of the spring. When installing the oil pump, Coat the sealing surfaces with engine assembly lubricant. This lubricant helps draw oil from the oil pan on initial startup. Oil passages. Purpose and function: oil from the oil pump first flows through the oil filter, and then goes through a drilled hole that intersects with a drilled main oil gallery, or longitudinal header. This is a long hole drilled from the front of the block to the back. Inline engines use one oil gallery. V-type engines may use two or three galleries. Passages drilled through the block bulkheads allow the oil to go from the main oil gallery to the main and cam bearings. See Figure 23.14. Refer to Figure 23.12. Figure A, a visual inspection indicated that this pump cover was worn. Figure B, an embedded particle of something was found on one of the gears, making this pump worthless except for scrap metal. In some engines, oil goes to the cam bearings first, and then to the main bearings. It is important that the oil holes in the bearings match with the drilled passages in the bearing saddles so that the bearing can be properly lubricated. Over a long period of use, bearings will wear. This wear causes excess clearance. The excess clearance will allow too much oil to leak from the side of the bearing. When this happens, there will be little or no oil left for bearings located farther downstream in the lubricating system. This is a major cause of bearing failure. To aid in bearing failure diagnosis, on most engines, the last rod bearing to receive oil pressure is typically the bearing farthest from the oil pump. If this bearing fails, suspect low oil pressure as the probable cause. Refer to Figure 23.13. Figure A, the oil pump is the only part in an engine that gets unfiltered engine oil. The oil is drawn up from the bottom of the oil pan and is pressurized before flowing to the oil filter. Figure B, if debris gets into an oil pump, the drive or distributor shaft can twist and/or break. When this occurs, the engine will lose all oil pressure. Valve train lubrication. The valve train components are the last to receive oil and the first to suffer from a lack oil or oil pressure. When hydraulic lifters are used, the oil pressure in the gallery keeps refilling them. On some engines, oil from the lifters goes up the center of a hollow pushrod to lubricate the pushrod ends, the rocker arm pivot, and the valve stem tip. In other engines, an oil passage is drilled from either the gallery or a cam bearing to the block deck, where it matches with a head gasket hole and a hole drilled in the head to carry the oil to a rocker arm shaft. Some engines use an enlarged bolt hole to carry lubrication oil around the rocker shaft cap screw to the rocker arm shaft. Refer to Figure 23.14. An intermediate shaft drives the oil pump on this overhead camshaft engine. Note the main gallery and other drilled passages in the block and cylinder head. Holes in the bottom of the rocker arm shaft allow lubrication of the rocker arm pivot. Rocker arm assemblies need only a surface coating of oil, so the oil flow to the rocker assembly is minimized using restrictions or metered openings. The restriction or metering disc is in the lifter when the rocker assembly is lubricated through the pushrod. Oil that seeps from the rocker assemblies is returned to the oil pan through drain holes. These oil drain holes are often placed so that the oil drains on the camshaft or cam drive gears to lubricate them. Oil drain holes can be either machined or cast into the cylinder heads and block. See Figure 23.15. Some engines have means of directing a positive oil flow to the cam drive gears or chain. This may include either of the following. Nozzle. Chamfer on a bearing parting surface, which allows oil to spray on the loaded portion of the cam drive mechanism. Refer to Figure 23.15. Oil is sent to the rocker arms on this Chevrolet V8 engine through the hollow pushrods. The oil returns to the oil pan through the oil drain back holes in the cylinder head. Tech tip. The new Hemi engine oiling system. The Chrysler Hemi V8 engine uses a unique oiling system because the valve lifters are fed oil from the top of the cylinder heads and through the pushrods. While it is normal to have oil flowing through hollow pushrods, it is unique that in the Hemi V8 the oil flows backward from normal and from the head down the hollow pushrods to the lifters. Be sure to use the specified viscosity of oil, as this is critical for proper lubrication of the valve lifters. Oil pans. Purpose and function: the oil pan is where engine oil is used for lubricating the engine. Another name for the oil pan is a sump. As the vehicle accelerates, brakes, or turns rapidly, the oil tends to move around in the pan. Pan baffles and oil pan shapes are often used to keep the oil inlet under the oil at all times. As the crankshaft rotates, it acts like a fan and causes air within the crankcase to rotate with it. This can cause a strong draft on the oil, churning it so that air bubbles enter the oil, which then causes oil foaming. Oil with air will not lubricate like liquid oil, so oil foaming can cause bearings to fail. A baffle or windage tray is sometimes installed in engines to eliminate the oil churning problem. This may be an added part, as shown in Figure 23.16, or it may be a part of the oil pan. Windage trays have the good side effect of reducing the amount of air disturbed by the crankshaft, so that less power is drained from the engine at high crankshaft speeds. Dry sump system. Construction and operation, the term sump is used to describe a location where oil is stored or held. In most engines, oil is held in the oil pan and the oil pump draws the oil from the bottom. This type of system is called a wet sump oil system. In a dry sump system, the oil pan is shallow and the oil is pumped into a remote reservoir. In this reservoir, the oil is cooled and any trapped air is allowed to escape before being pumped back to the engine. A dry sump system uses an externally mounted oil reservoir. Refer to Figure 23.16, a typical oil pan with a built-in windage tray used to keep oil from being churned up by the rotating crankshaft. Frequently asked question. Why is it called a windage tray? A windage tray is a plate or baffle installed under the crankshaft and is used to help prevent aeration of the oil. Where does the wind come from? Pistons push air down into the crankcase as they move from top dead center to bottom dead center. The pistons also draw air and oil upward when moving from bottom dead center to top dead center. At high engine speeds, this causes a great deal of airflow, which can easily aerate the oil. Therefore, a windage tray is used to help prevent this movement of air, wind, from affecting the oil in the pan. Try the following. Take an oil pan and add a few quarts, liters, of oil. Then take an electric hair dryer and use it to blow air into the oil pan. Oil will be thrown everywhere, which helps illustrate why windage trays are used in all newer engines. Advantages: the advantages of a dry sump system are as follows. 1. A shallow oil pan allows the engine to be mounted lower in the vehicle to improve cornering. 2. The oil capacity can be greatly expanded because the size of the reservoir is not limited. A larger quantity of oil means that the oil temperature can be controlled. 3. A dry sump system allows the vehicle to corner and brake for long periods, which is not able to be done with a wet sump system due to the oil being thrown to one side and away from the oil pickup. 4. A dry sump system also allows the engine to develop more power as the oil is kept away from the moving crankshaft. Disadvantages: a dry sump system has the following disadvantages. 1. The system is expensive as it requires components and plumbing not needed in a wet sump system. 2. The system is complex because the plumbing and connections, plus the extra components, result in more places where oil leaks can occur and change the way routine maintenance is handled. A dry sump oil system is used in most motorsport vehicles and is standard on certain high-performance production vehicles, such as some models of the Chevrolet Corvette, Porsche, and BMW. See Figure 23.17. Refer to Figure 23.17. A dry sump system is used in a Chevrolet Corvette. Oil coolers. Oil temperature must be controlled on many high-performance or turbocharged engines. A larger capacity oil pan helps to control oil temperature. Some engines use remote-mounted oil coolers. Coolant flows through the oil cooler to help warm the oil when the engine is cold and cool the oil when the engine is hot. Oil temperature should be above 212 degrees Fahrenheit, or 100 degrees Celsius, to boil off any accumulated moisture. Below 280 degrees Fahrenheit to 300 degrees Fahrenheit, or 138 degrees Celsius to 148 degrees Celsius, see Figure 23.18. 1. What causes a wedge-shaped film to form in the oil? 2. What is hydrodynamic lubrication? 3. Explain why internal engine leakage affects oil pressure. Frequently asked question. What is acceptable oil consumption? There are a number of opinions regarding what is acceptable oil consumption. Most vehicle owners do not want their engine to use any oil between oil changes, even if they do not change it more often than every 7,500 miles, or 12,000 kilometers. Engineers have improved machining operations and piston ring designs to help eliminate oil consumption. Many stationary or industrial engines are not driven on the road, so they do not accumulate miles, but still may consume excessive oil. A general rule for acceptable oil consumption is that it should be about 0.002 to 0.004 pound per horsepower per hour. Refer to calculation on page 234. Therefore, oil consumption is based on the amount of work an engine performs. Although the formula may not be viable for vehicle engines used for daily transportation, it may be for the marine or industrial engine builder. Generally, oil consumption that is greater than 1 quart for every 600 miles, or 1 liter per 1,000 kilometers, is considered to be excessive with a motor vehicle. Refer to Figure 23.18, oil is cooled by the flow of coolant through the oil filter adapter. Review questions. Question 1. What causes a wedge-shaped film to form in the oil? Question 2. What is hydrodynamic lubrication? Question 3. Explain why internal engine leakage affects oil pressure. Question 4. Describe how the oil flows from the oil pump, through the filter and main engine bearings, to the valve train. Question 5. What is the purpose of a windage tray? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Normal oil pump pressure in an engine is, what PSI? A. 3 to 7. B. 10 to 60. C. 100 to 150. D. 180 to 210. Question 2. Two technicians are discussing oil pumps. Technician A says that many oil pumps are driven directly off the front of the crankshaft. Technician B says that some are driven from the distributor if the engine uses a distributor-type ignition system. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Question 3. A typical oil pump can pump how many gallons per minute? A. 3 to 6 gallons. B. 6 to 10 gallons. C. 10 to 60 gallons. D. 50 to 100 gallons. Question 4. In typical engine lubrication systems, what components are the last to receive oil and the first to suffer from a lack of oil or oil pressure? A. Main bearings. B. Rod bearings. C. Valve train components. D. Oil filters. Question 5. Hydrodynamic lubrication created by the wedging action of oil between the crankshaft journal and the bearing can be as high as, what PSI? A. 60. B. 120. C. 500. D. 1000. Question 6. What type of oil pump is driven by the crankshaft? A. Gerotor. B. Internal and external gear. C. External gear. D. Both A and B. Question 7. Lower than specified oil pressure is measured on a high mileage engine. Technician A says that worn main or rod bearings could be the cause. Technician B says that a clogged oil pump pickup screen could be the cause. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Question 8. Oil passages in an engine block are usually called what? A. Galleries. B. Holes. C. Runners. D. Pathways. Question 9. Why is a dry sump system used in some high-performance vehicles? A. It allows the vehicle to corner or brake for long periods. B. It allows the engine to develop more power. C. It allows for a greater oil capacity so that oil temperatures can be controlled. D. All of the above. Question 10. An engine oil cooler uses what to cool the oil? A. Coolant. B. Air. C. Air conditioning evaporator output. D. Automatic transmission fluid after it flows through the radiator. End of chapter 23.